Well, guys, if this is your first time, you picked a great Sunday to check out Bethel because we're beginning a new series today entitled The Transformation Project. And we have a tremendous pastor with us today. He's really not a guest here at Bethel. This man served with me right here in this church for about 6 years. Him and his wife, Gautier, are here with us today. And I want you to give a big hand clap to Pastor Feaker. Pastor Feaker, come on up here, Big Faith. So good to see you, my friend. You brought
Thank
your family
you.
With us today.
Yes.
Introduce your family real quick to us, Pastor Feaker.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Margot, and my daughter, Amira. We're excited to be here. As Pastor Lance said, we've been here for years, so it's always an honor to be back.
Exactly. So he's not a guest to a lot of you guys, but for some of you, he is. Before Pastor Feaker jumped into this message, Pastor Feaker, he's going to talk about what God is doing around the world. And this is really a great kickoff to this series called The Transformation Project, because what you're going to see is Bethel is not just about what we see with our eyes every day talking about our community, but we really are about reaching the world for Jesus. And this man travels around with a man named Pastor Rice, really taking, you guys may have seen, there's a new movie coming out, God's Not Dead 3. There's been two movies already made. A new movie is coming up called God's Not Dead. Pastor Feaker and Pastor Rice are really tied into that. And they've been taking this and really a book that they have written called The Human Right, really all around the globe. And he's going to talk about that today. But before we do that, we want to talk about something exciting that you're going to get to be a part of this summer. Again, we're about reaching the world. And to reach the world, you got to do what, Pastor Fee? You got to go to the world.
Right.
And so we're about mission trips. Every single summer, we offer mission trips here at Bethel Community Church. And this summer, we're going to the great nation of Santa Cruz, Bolivia.
Right.
This is actually where Pastor Feaker and Goetz are pastor for how many years, champ? You've lived there all your life, but 18 years they pastored there. This is really how myself and Mike met Pastor Feaker, by going to Bolivia and serving the great church there. And so, Pastor Feaker, talk about Bolivia. Talk about this missions trip and what it's going to be all about.
Yes, thank you so much. So I really would love to see many of you signed up for this trip. Every couple of years, we actually have done it for many years out of Clarksville where we go, and we focus on two main things. We are always about reaching the campus, but we are also, as a church and as a movement, we care about social responsibility. So we take a team of doctors and we hold a clinic in the outskirts of the city where people really don't have any resources to go to doctors or to get medicine. And our team gather medicine from here, from the United States, donations, and we go and serve these people. Last time we've been there, we served about 800 or 900 patients in just 3 days. I mean, they line up all around the block to wait on us to be able to help them with our medicine. While we're doing that, our team, the rest of the, because not everybody's a doctor, the rest of the team is sharing the gospel, is communicating the love of Christ, is sitting down with them in small groups, praying with them, leading them to Christ. And that ultimately help our local church to continue to grow and to continue to reach out to the community. About 5 or 7 years ago, we went with a team from here from Clarksville with Pastor Lance, and we built the actual church, the actual building. And that building is still there, continue to grow. They just expanded it because the church is growing. And that is the fruit of your all's work. That is the fruit of Bethel Community Church sending mission teams year after year. Then the last few days of the mission trip, we go to the campus. God has sent us to the campus. You have 15,000 people here in Austin Peay. We have 105,000 students at the city of Santa Cruz, at the one particular campus that my wife and I started the ministry on a few years ago. There's 105,000 students. So we're going to go spend 3 days on that campus, reach out to students, have a conference, and believe God for hundreds of students to come to the message of the gospel. That is as fast as I could.
No, you did great. Very good, Pastor Feaker. Very good. Myself and Pastor Feaker will be leading this trip. And so we're calling you forth. If you have been on a mission trip, it's time to go again. If you've never been, this is a great first trip to be a part of. It's safe. We eat real good, don't we, champ? We eat good food.
I'm going to eat more steak than you've ever seen in your life.
You'll come back and hate steak and chicken. You eat so much of it. We stay at a nice place. It's a great trip, but you really get to serve the great nation of Bolivia, the city of Santa Cruz, and even the outskirts of Santa Cruz. As you see, those are the dates, June 23rd through July the 1st. But here's the good news. The good news is we're going to have an interest meeting next Sunday. Next Sunday, 2 p.m. in our upstairs offices is going to be our interest meeting. And we'd love for you to come. If God is stirring in you, if you ever have a heart to go on a missions trip, my encouragement to you, come to this interest meeting. Hear more about what this trip is going to be about. We're going to help you with all when it comes to get the finances, the resources that you need to be able to attend this amazing trip. Guys, so glad Pastor Fikri is here with us today, champ. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm going to pray for Pastor Fikri. He's going to jump right into our message. If our ushers could bring the podium up, I'd really appreciate that. Father, we love you so much. We thank you, God, for Pastor Fikri. God, we thank you for, God, what you're doing in his life. Lord, we thank you for, God, him and his wife, Goti, and all that they're doing, God, around the world. Lord, this message, the Transformation Project, as we jump into this, Lord, I pray that it would transform our hearts and our lives, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give one more hand clap to my good friend, Pastor Amen. Fikri.
Thank you all so much. Thank you, Pastor Lance. It is an honor to be here today. And just one more thing about this mission trip, if I can encourage you with it. I'm going to give you a little bit of a report of what God is doing around the world. Really, Bolivia, if you look at a map of South America, it is situated at the heart of South America. Literally at the heart of South America. And our church there have become a sense of a hub for the other nations. Recently, we held the Every Nation Conference in Bolivia, and pastors from Peru, from Chile, from all over Latin America came to our church, and they were being trained and encouraged by our team. So when you go and sow into Bolivia, you're not just helping the nation of Bolivia, but you're literally helping us all over Latin America. What we do there is impacting the rest of Latin America. So please sign up, come, and you're going to have a great time, not just serving our team, but you yourself. Here's the testimony I've heard year after year after this trip. People tell me at the end of the trip, we've been blessed more than we were able to bless anybody. So you come back incredibly encouraged. Amen? Amen. Y'all staring at me in disbelief. Just go and you'll see. Okay, let me give you just a quick update of what God is doing around the world. Pastor Lance reminded us all that we are part of a global movement called Every Nation. We are a local church. We are here at 1885 Tiny Town Road, but we're part of a global movement that is in 82 countries. That movement started very few years ago, and that's why I'm saying that. 82 countries in a few years is an incredible achievement. But it's tied into my message today about the Transformation Project, and that's why I wanted to give a little highlight of what God is doing around the world. The last 12 months, I've had the honor of being in 25 countries total, and seeing what God is doing in every nation in those countries. I'm not going to be able to speak about 25 countries, but I selected about 5 of them just to give you a quick update of what is happening. If we have my pictures, that would help me. So I just came back. This is in Dubai. You don't see me because I cut myself out of the picture on purpose. I'm right back there. Just came back from Dubai. That is our Middle Eastern conference, and pastors and church planters from 20 different nations in one of the most difficult areas of the world congregated for a week, and we had the honor of training them, inspiring them. They're full of the Holy Spirit, and they went back to their nations to continue to build the kingdom of God. Next, please. That was just a few weeks ago, and this is Santa Cruz, Bolivia. That is our church in Bolivia. My wife is there speaking, and that was our conference where we had pastors and leaders from seven different nations. And again, we've been training them, and you can see the same name is, that's in Spanish, Edifica means build. The conference name that we have is Build, because we're trying to build the kingdom of God all over the world. The next, please. Okay, that is a different area. That is in Beirut, Lebanon. We went with a team from the U.S. and from the Philippines. Beirut and the nation of Lebanon is one of the most needy area of the world for the message of the gospel. They've received 1.5 million Syrian refugees because of the war, and those people literally have nothing. So we took a team of doctors. We served them. About 600 of them in just a couple of days. Many salvation. I've literally seen miracles there, like people coming with their bones twisted and God healing them. I mean, we've seen some amazing miracles. You know, when the Bible says where sin abounds, grace overabounds, it's not an exaggeration. Where there's more need, God shows up mightily. So that was in Lebanon. And by the way, we're believing God for a mission trip to Lebanon in 2019. So that was last year, and we're going to go again in 2019. Next picture, please. That is in Nicaragua, Nicaragua in Central America, probably the poorest nation in Central America, but myself and Pastor Rice, we went there, did an outreach, and just a few hundred students, about 700, came to the outreach, and many of them, not just on fire for God, but here's the biggest testimony I brought from that trip. The head of the university came to us and said, I want to lead the Bible study, because she received Christ at our meeting. She said, I want to lead the Bible study. If you train me, I'll lead the Bible study with the student. And she still is leading the Bible study with the purple book. Do we have another picture? We might have. Oh, that's Barcelona, Spain. Barcelona have been through turmoil. If you remember last year, there was big attacks on the street, and they're trying to be an independent nation and all that. Well, the day of the protest where everybody's throwing rock at each other, that's the day I landed. That was not on plan. In fact, American Airlines called me and said, if you want to cancel your trip, we'll refund you your money. That's how dangerous the situation is. And my response was, are you guys going? And they said, yes. I said, well, if you're going, I'm going. And we went on the campus, 25,000 students on that campus, and our team did the God test with hundreds of students, 98.5% atheist. The highest atheist campus I personally have visited. But many of those students came to us, sat down with us, asked questions, listened to the message. I'm not going to lie and exaggerate and said hundreds received Christ. It didn't happen. But hundreds came and talked to us. And hundreds said to us, nobody have ever shared with us about faith like you do. We're sick of religion, but we're willing to talk about spiritual life. So thank you for being part of a movement that is literally expanding the gospel all over the world. Amen? I think this is the last picture, is it? Or do they have one more? Oh, wow, okay. I have a lot of pictures, sorry. That is Santiago de Chile. Chile is one of the least reached nations for the gospel. Pastor Rice and myself went down there in November. We led an outreach, and again, 800 students. That night, that particular picture was the last night where we had 155 students come for a second night, because we told them, if you want to know more about Christ and be discipled, you come a second night. And they came that second night. We handed the purple book to each one of them, explained to them chapter 1. And our pastor down there, Patricio, that is a good friend of mine, is continuing to disciple those students into the kingdom. Last picture. Okay, that is just from Bolivia again. And that's the pastor that is smiling in the corner. That is the guy that is following up with the 155 students in Chile. But the other pastor that has sunglasses, and I wanted that picture just for him, is from our church in Maracaibo, Venezuela. Venezuela have gone from being the richest nation in Latin America to the poorest and the most suffering nation. I mean, that brother told me some stories that made me cry. I mean, he was taking a Nutella with him back home, and they took it out of his bag at the airport and wouldn't let him take a Nutella to his children. That's how bad the situation is. We took an offering in Bolivia. That was in Bolivia. We took an offering in Bolivia for him. Our churches were very generous. And after the meeting, he came to me and said, Pastor Fikri, I really can't take that money because they're going to take it away from me at the airport. Could you please deposit it at a bank account in America, and we'll just try with a debit card to use the money to feed our family. So I wanted to put that picture up so you remember Venezuela and you remember Pastor Eric, and pray for him and pray for our church there. Amen? Amen. Sorry, this has been a little bit of a long introduction, but we're talking about the Transformation Project, and it's kind of interesting to see what God is doing around the world and transforming nations by the message of the gospel. I want to set the stage today in the next few minutes for this series, and I want to talk about kingdom transformation. So the whole idea of the series is that God has called us as a church to transform the world. And I love Bethel Community Church, that you care about your community, you care about your campus, you care about Austin Peay, you care about, every area of the city, but also you care about the world. And Pastor Lance have invited me to speak about transforming the world, about thinking about the world at the beginning of the series, because that is how we roll in every nation. That is how we roll in Bethel. As much as we love our local city, as much as we love Fort Campbell, as much as we love our neighbors, we always think about the world. You know, when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the worlds, there is an idea of the concentric circles. You know, when he said, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the world. I've heard a lot of people say you start with Jerusalem, and then you go, and then you go. That's the concentric circle idea. That is not a biblical idea. The biblical idea is the Olympic circles, where they're all interrelated. In other words, you don't start one place and go to the other. You go to every place at the same time. And how can we do that? That's why we're a lot of people. Not all of us can go to everywhere, but each one of us can go to somewhere. Are you with me? We can go to everywhere, each one of us, but each one of us can go to somewhere. And if we continue to go together, we're going to change the world. We're going to transform the world together. The simple message I have for you this morning is based in Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 15. And if you can open the scripture with me, Mark 1, 1 to 15. I want to read this whole section because I like to read a big section of the scripture. I don't like to focus on just a little bit. Also, the message is going to be mainly in verse 15. Let's read together Mark 1, 1 to 15. And it says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey." It's a very interesting diet. "And he preached saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.' The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" That is what is called the prologue of the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is the first gospel written out of all four. It is the oldest gospel that we have, and it's the smallest one. Many says that the other synoptic authors, meaning Matthew and Luke, borrowed ideas from Mark when they wrote their own gospel. But the Gospel of Mark has a peculiar situation that is not repeated anywhere else. And it is summarized in one word that you can find this in this chapter 11 times and in the entire gospel many more times. And the word is immediately. He says immediately 11 times in chapter 1. And then for the rest of the gospel, it's immediately, 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 immediately. And immediately means one thing, means a sense of urgency. Mark had an incredible sense of urgency of what Jesus is doing and what Jesus is asking of us to do. If you look at the entire Gospel of Mark, no doubt that the Gospel of Mark is the gospel of transformation. He does not start in the manger like Matthew and Luke. He does not start in the beginning like the theologian John. He starts immediately in the ministry of Jesus. I mean, he bypasses 30 years. He got no time for that. He's ready to focus on the ministry. Forget the birth. Forget all that. Let's just start with what's important. That's Mark for you. He has a sense of urgency that the message that we have to proclaim, the gospel that we have to proclaim, is so important. Let's get to it as soon as possible. That sense of urgency is the whole idea behind the transformation project. In our modern world, and in the West mainly, we are good planners. And I appreciate planning. Planning is highly important. You can't achieve a lot without planning. But sometimes that planning takes away from us the sense of urgency. And I don't think that we as Christians can live in this world without a real sense of urgency. Not because the world is going to end tomorrow. In Mark's sake, he actually thought that Jesus was coming back in his lifetime. That's what he believed. So he had that sense of urgency. We got to take the gospel to the whole world because we just have a couple of years. Now, it had been 2,000 years and Jesus hasn't come back yet. So we might have a little bit more of time. But the sense of urgency is not a question of time. The sense of urgency is a question of the need of the people. Because we could have 2,000 years more before Jesus come back, but every few minutes, somebody's dying in our world. And it doesn't matter if Jesus come back in 2,000 years, that person that died without hearing the gospel is gone, has no hope. Because the gospel is the only hope of the world. Are you with me? So I want to call us as a church today to a sense of urgency. When you continue to hear about the transformation project for the next few weeks, remember there's a sense of urgency. We got to get this done now. We can't wait for the next generation. We can't wait for the next year. We can't wait for summer. It's now. That's what Jesus told his disciples many times. You say that the harvest is in a few months. Let me tell you, it's ready now. Jesus had a sense of urgency about him, and he wants to transmit that sense of urgency to us. I titled my message, Kingdom Transformation, and I did that because when you look at Mark 1:15 and the rest of the Gospel of Mark, here is Jesus' message. Very simple, very focused, can't forget it. He says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So what is kingdom transformation? Kingdom transformation is basically we are called by God to transform the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God. It is not a political fight. It's not a social injustice fight. It's not an ideological fight. It's a kingdom fight. There is a kingdom in this world that belongs to the dark side. It is called the kingdom of the cosmos or the kingdom of the world. And we do not belong to it. We belong to the kingdom of God. Irrelevant of which political affiliation we have, irrelevant of which country we live in, irrelevant of what kind of bank account do we have or what vehicle we drive, we belong to a different kingdom called the kingdom of God. Kingdom transformation is we are called by God to bring the kingdom of God closer to this world, to transform our world from the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of God. That was Jesus' message. If you think that our world is in turmoil, if you think that there's a lot of social injustice around us, if you think that all the shooting and the craziness is terrible in our world, I invite you to study the time of Jesus. I love history. I study history a lot. I read a lot about history. If you think our world is bad today, please read about the time of Jesus. The Roman Empire was the most vicious, terrible empire that ever existed. Torture, social injustice, discrimination, killing folk for no reason, enslaving people. I mean, it was terrible. You would think that Jesus would take the time to fight all these fights. You would think that Jesus, the master of love, the God of mercy, would take the time to talk about all these issues, but he does not. He focuses on only one thing, the proclamation of the gospel. And there is a reason for that, because the proclamation of the gospel is the only real solution to end injustice. Because injustice is not coming from laws. Injustice comes from the human heart. Injustice comes out of our own heart. We are the one that makes the bad laws. We are the one that have hatred. We are the one that attack others. By we, I mean humanity, not us particularly. So if you want to end injustice, if you want to transform the world, there is only one way and one way only, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. when we go and proclaim the gospels in the nations like you've seen there in different countries on different campuses, we bring the only hope of the world in front of people. I've sat with hundreds of people in the last few months listening to this same word. I've never heard this before. I've never heard this before. I'm sick of religion, but what you're bringing is a message of hope, because the gospel, the true gospel, is the only hope of the world. And Jesus understood that. He embedded that. He lived that. That's what he focused on, one thing and one thing only. And if you forget everything else I said today, remember that. The proclamation of the gospel is the commission of the church, is what we have in front of us. And here's the gospel that Jesus proclaimed, because, you know, we can say it 100 times, but if we don't explain it, you can leave here saying, so what do I do? Okay, you inspired me. Okay, I'm on fire. I just don't know what to do. Let me explain what to do. Here's what Jesus did. He said his proclamation of the gospel was 3 clear things. Number one, the time is fulfilled. In modern English, time's up. That's what he's saying. Time's up. When you're playing a game and you're looking at the clock and it finally hits the last minute, whoever won, won the game, because time's up. So Jesus stood in front of Satan and in front of all the hosts of hell and told them, time's up. I'm here to rule. That's it. It's not a big deal, but it was a proclamation that took the kingdom of hell and the kingdom of Satan 100 years back. Because when Jesus stood and said, the time is fulfilled, he was not fighting with his arms. He was not even fighting with his divine power. He was just standing as God made man, saying, you ain't going to beat me. I already won. Your time is up, brother. You're done. You're toast. I win. You and I don't have a fight to fight. We have a message to proclaim. We need to stand up in every corner of this world and tell the devil right in his face, your time's up. Jesus rules. He rules in my heart. And wherever I go, the kingdom of God is coming with me. So the proclamation of the gospel starts with a simple declaration that time's up. What time's up? You know, since creation, since the fall of first Lucifer and then Adam and Eve, sin entered into creation. And with sin, the kingdom of this world was given to another. And God patiently waited for hundreds and thousands of years. We can argue about dates for a long time, but bottom line, God waited for thousands of years till in the fulfillment of the time, God became man in Christ and was born over 2,000 years ago and lived for 30 years. Then he stood up in front of everybody and said, all right, devil, your time's up. I'm here to establish my kingdom, and not even all your power will be able to resist it. We are called in our generation to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Have you ever been to an embassy? If you ever applied for a visa, by the way, if you go to Bolivia, you need to apply for a visa. If you ever applied to a visa, you go to the embassy. When you come in, when you come into the embassy, everything changed. The first time I applied for a visa to come to the United States, I was living in the nation of Bolivia that speaks Spanish. Everything is in Spanish. Most people have a certain look. I mean, just it's one culture, right? And I walked into the embassy of the United States. As soon as I walk in, there was no more the Bolivian flag. There was the American flag. And the president's picture was not the president of Bolivia. It was the president of the United States. Everything was in English. Nothing in Spanish anymore. Things changed immediately when I went into the embassy, because an embassy is a legal representation of the nation that sends it. You are an embassy of the kingdom of God. Whatever you are, whatever you do, soldier, student, housewife, whatever you do, it doesn't matter. You are an ambassador and an embassy of the kingdom of God. And when somebody come into your life, they have to see the change of kingdom. Outside is the kingdom of this world. In your heart and in my heart is the kingdom of God. Where we are is the kingdom of God. Proclamation started with saying, your time's up. The second thing that Jesus said is, the kingdom of God is here. When he says the kingdom of God is at hand, he means the kingdom of God has arrived. There's a new era that just begun. There is a new rule that just begun. You can't do anything you want anymore. Now the kingdom of God is here. Now we proclaim the kingdom of God with our words, but I respectfully submit to you that we also proclaim it with our acts. We cannot act like the people of this world. Look, this have nothing to do, well, it does have to do with my sermon. I'm going to say it anyway. Please, I mean, I don't follow most of you on Facebook or on Twitter. Please don't offend others and attack them on Twitter because of political views. Don't do that. We don't do that. I am disturbed and hurt by everything I see in our world, but I don't say anything on social media because I have friends. I care about them more than about my opinions. If you want to talk with somebody, buy their coffee and sit down and talk to them face to face. It's very easy to hide behind the send button and says whatever you want and then hide. Don't do that. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm sure you've never done anything wrong in your life, but for just in case. And if you follow me on social media, you know I live by what I say. I never do that on social media. And it's not that I don't have opinions. I have them. But I reserve my wife said amen very strongly. She knows I do. Somebody knows I have opinions. But I don't go attacking or offending people because of my ideas, because ideas can change and political situation and social situation can change. But if you lose a friendship, you know what? One day you're going to be together in the kingdom of heaven. What you going to do? Hang out at the other side of what you going to do? Just run away every time that brother you offended come by? Let's not do that. Let's proclaim the gospel with our words, but also with our acts. Let's act like Christians. Let's forgive those who offend us. Let's treat people with kindness. Let's open the door for he who needs it. Let's give our seat to he who needs it. Let's just act like the kingdom of God would act. Jesus did that. The proclamation was, your time's up. Number two, the kingdom of God is at hand. And with the kingdom comes a new set of rules. I don't have time to explain the rules of the kingdom, but I'll give you a homework. I'm a teacher, so I'm going to give you a homework. Say with me, homework. My daughter hates homework, but she's going to have one anyway. So here's your homework. You're going to go home, and you're going to read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Not big homework. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Are you with me? These are the rules of the kingdom of God. That's how the kingdom of God operates. Instead of me spending 30 minutes explaining it to you, just read it. It's very plain. The rules of the kingdom are in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's how you live. That's how you live in the kingdom of God. Let's live the kingdom of God so we can preach the kingdom of God. I cannot tell you how many people came to me saying, why are you being so kind to me? And I said, well, I'll tell you why. And I can share the gospel with them. I travel a lot. I spend a lot of hours on airplanes. So usually somebody sits beside me, and usually I'm going to share the gospel with that person. But I have to find a way how to engage the person without being creepy, because they can't, you know, they can't jump out of the plane. They have to be there. So if I make them mad, there's going to be a miserable flight for me. So I have to find a kind way to engage them. And that starting point is usually the rules of the kingdom. Being nice, offering part of your meal. Hey, you want my coffee? Just being kind and finding the way to be able to share the gospel with that person. In my case, I usually wait for when the plane does that a lot. Then people freak out. I don't, because unless it's going like this, I know it's just bumps in the air. And when it starts going like this, then... So what do you think about eternity? It's a great, great starting point. And then I have a few hours to explain my view on eternity. Are you with me? We are called to proclaim the gospel. We proclaim the gospel like Jesus did by saying to the devil, time's up. And number two, by proclaiming that the kingdom of God is at hand. And finally, I don't know if I'm over my time or I do have more time, but I'm going to end this. I don't have any time. Sorry, I'm going to continue to preach. Anyway, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the third element of our proclamation is we invite people like Jesus did to repent and believe in the gospel. Look, it gets deep when you go there. But the fluffy gospel doesn't help anybody. Jesus loves you and do whatever you want doesn't help anybody. It spoiled our culture. It spoiled our world. You got to get to the point where we look people in the eye and tell them, you and I need to repent and believe in the gospel. And repent mean what I'm doing is wrong. I need to change course. I'm heading in the wrong direction. I need to change course. I can't continue going in the wrong direction. And if you're on I-24 West and you're in Nashville, you're going to end up in Clarksville, right? But if you're trying to head to Chattanooga from Nashville and you're on I-24 West, you're never going to get to Chattanooga. You have to change course. That's repentance. At some point in the conversation, in the proclamation, we have to get deep. We can't stay in the superficial level. We can't stay in the kindness, friendship zone. You got to get to the point where lovingly look to the person in their eye and say, if we don't repent, we have no hope. We are going as a culture. We are going as a nation. We're going as people in the wrong direction. You've heard the message of Christ. You and I need to repent. But repentance in itself doesn't solve anything. I can repent all day long, but I have no ability to change myself. Are you following me? Repentance in itself is not going to solve the problem. I need to repent and trust in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. Because my repentance, all it does, it makes me change. But I have no ability to walk toward God. I don't have the ability to become a Christian. That is a miracle that comes from above. That is the power of the gospel. So all I do is I repent for my sin and I say, I trust in you, Jesus. I trust that you became man in Christ, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you are giving me eternal life. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's all Jesus did, y'all, for 3.5 years. And that's all he asked us to do. We tend to complicate things, but the gospel is not complicated. Declare to everyone, devil included, that his time's up. Proclaim that the kingdom of God is here now, not in the future, not when Jesus come back. The kingdom is here now because the king is here now. If you didn't know that, you got to know it, that the king is in your heart if you're a believer. The king is here. So I live by the rules of the kingdom. And then I proclaim simply, repent and believe in the gospel. I give you one homework. I'm going to give you a second. That's why Pastor Lance doesn't invite me much, because I give you a lot of work. I'll give you one homework. I'll give you a second to end with. You got 7 days before you come back to the second message of the Transformation Project. In these 7 days, take this message and apply it in your own life. Pray every day, declaring that the devil's time is up for Clarksville, Tennessee. For the United States, for our world. Proclaim that the kingdom of God has arrived to your own life. And find one person. I'm not going to ask you a million. One person. That's not a big deal. Find one person and share with them the message of repent and believe in the gospel. Don't share it with hatred. I know you won't. Don't share it with condemnation. Share it with love. Share it with kindness. I have no way to follow up with you on that homework. I have no way to coerce you to do it. But I have one thing that I'm convinced of. The Holy Spirit that put this message in my heart is speaking to your heart and is telling you, you got to do this week. Go find somebody and share with them the message of the gospel that is in Jesus Christ. You don't need to say amen. You just need to do it. And if you are here for the first time, the second time, or this is the first time that you really heard the gospel, I want to invite you, not just to believe in it, but even if you have doubt and question, come and talk to me at the end of the service. I'm going to stay here as long as necessary. And we have a whole team of leaders would be glad to talk to you and to explain it to you. My friend, Dr. Rice Brooks, our own pastor, Bishop of Bethel, wrote this book, The Human Right. And here's the summary of the book. You can go and buy the book on Amazon. I'm not a book salesman. But here's the summary of the book. Here's why I read it. What he says is, if the gospel is public truth, it is the human right of every person to know it. And that human right is bigger than the human right for water or food or shelter. Because this human right determines eternity. Stand up together and pray.